Well, we talk all the time at Calvary, of course, about how we have hope when facing death, right? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have the hope of heaven. But we know also that even though that hope is a very substantial and a very meaningful thing for us, when one of our loved ones dies, even though we know they're heading to heaven, death is still a terribly painful and raw thing, isn't it? And if that loved one who passed away had lived to an age where we might expect death, say in their 80s or 90s, and we say things like, they lived a full life, well, it doesn't make things that much easier, does it? Especially if that loved one was a parent or a sibling or a spouse. Death, even if that person has lived out into old age, remains a painful and raw thing for those left behind. So when you have a situation like the one we're facing here at Calvary this week with the death of a 21-year-old young man who was nowhere near to the age of where you might expect a person to die, and he's one of our own, grew up in our youth group and with us here on Sunday mornings, how much more painful is that then? So Maria, our hearts are aching for you. All of us here this morning, and Anna and Lizzie, and especially, I think, if you have ever raised a child, we are especially aching for you in this. And sad, too, I know, for the pain that Aaron faced in his life and couldn't get past. Of course, it wasn't all pain for Aaron. There were many good times, and I would guess a lot of us who knew him and maybe had those kinds of memories, we're thinking about those things over the last couple of days. And so next Thursday at our prayer service, and then again in the funeral on Friday, we'll do our best to celebrate the life of Aaron Redman and together grieve the loss of him, which came way, way too soon. I thought about maybe even preaching a sermon on this today, but I think given that most of you will probably be here again on Friday, I'll just reserve my comments for there and just go ahead with my planned sermon today. But Aaron's death is right there in our thoughts, isn't it? Even as we go about regular activities of life in church. I thought it would be appropriate for us. Maria, I wasn't sure if you were going to be here today. Would you let us pray for you? And would you mind coming down? Of course, if Lizzie had made it today, we'd do that for her. And Anna, I know, was here, but then went back to her church in Sioux Falls. And I don't know if she was in charge of watching kids today, I think, maybe. So we can't have everyone, but if some of you would be willing to come down and pray, and I will ask that you try to grab the mic if I can find it. So the sermon theme for my Advent sermons this year is actually out on our sign, out on Highway 75 right now, and it is this: Jesus changed the world, and he can change your life. Celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, of course, and so I'm having us do some thinking together this December about the impact that birth of Jesus had upon the world. Last Sunday, I spoke about the completely different grid that Jesus gifted to the world, a completely different way of thinking about life, completely different way of living life, and so different from what we would have been left with without Jesus. This morning, I'm going to make it personal. Typically, in my Sunday morning sermons, we get into some pretty substantial Bible study, either going book by book through, or chapter by chapter through a book of the Bible as we go week by week, or selecting a life topic and then searching the scriptures for what the Bible has to say about that topic and studying that together. But today I'm largely going to be delivering a personal message to you. I want to talk this morning about what Jesus' birth has meant to me in my life. So yes, Jesus was born, he changed the world, and part of that world change, a very, very small part, but part of it nonetheless, is the impact Jesus had upon me. So kind of a testimony from me this morning on what Jesus' birth and his teaching and death and resurrection has meant for me in my life. He's meant many things, of course, and I'll click through them relatively quick here this morning for you. I'm going to start with what might actually be my favorite one when I reflect on all the things that Jesus has meant to me in my life. So the first thing is this. Jesus Christ has given to me heartburn. Jesus Christ has given me heartburn. And I'll explain that one to you. Here's a story from Luke chapter 24 of two men who had followed Jesus while he walked the earth, but who had witnessed his death on the cross just a couple days prior to the events described in this story, and they were devastated and bewildered. And chapter 24, verse 13 says this, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all that took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus.' Jesus then said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized them by them when he broke the bread." So even before these two men knew that it had been Jesus walking alongside them, explaining the scriptures to them and how the scriptures had prophesied about everything the Messiah, many things that the Messiah was going to do, including his death and resurrection, these men's hearts were already burning within them. They were starting to see it. They were starting to believe that Jesus really was who they had thought and hoped that he was all along. They were starting to believe that the reports of Jesus' body being missing actually was because he had come back to life. And their hearts began beating in their chests. They're beginning to see in all of these things the hand of God at work. Heartburn. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that feeling over and over in my life. As I've read scripture and as I've had experiences of Jesus in my life, as I've worshipped him in churches or heard sermons that helped me understand things in a new or deeper way, I've felt this, and I call it the Jesus heartburn. And it's not an uncomfortable feeling. It's an excitement deep in your gut. It's when you sense your blood pumping through your veins, and it's when you begin to see that what your soul has always believed must be true, namely that God exists and that there is a reason for life and that love is the true reality in life and so forth. It's when you begin to see that all of that stuff actually is true, and your heart starts beating in excitement as you get a glimpse of the real God. So, yeah, I get that a lot as I read the scriptures, as I prepare sermons, that feeling could be the feeling of the Holy Spirit in me too, working in me. God promises to send his spirit to live in every believer. In any case, this is something that the birth of Jesus and my experience of him has brought to my life. Jesus Christ has given me heartburn, and it's an awesome thing. So I'm thankful today for heartburn. All right. Here's the second thing I want to mention that Jesus has brought to my life. And this one, like some other things coming up here, really probably would be more appropriately credited to God the Father, things that God has brought to my life. But I'm going to credit Jesus today. After all, it is through Jesus that I know the Father. And you know, the Father and Son are somewhat interchangeable anyway. So we're just going to give credit to Jesus for these things today. Here's the next thing I want to tell you that Jesus has brought to my life. Jesus has given me so many good things to experience and to marvel at. He's given me so many good things to experience and to marvel at. And we've marveled at some of this stuff together in past sermons here. How those little pieces of flying art that we call monarch butterflies and their tiny little insect brains know how to fly from Minnesota all the way down to the exact same place in Mexico where their great-grandparents had wintered the season before. Pretty amazing. How spider webs are built with incredible mathematical precision and formula. Again, not bad for a little insect brain. We looked at, remember that plant in living in the desert in Africa. So now we're talking about something without a brain at all, right? But it figured out how to attract bugs to it underneath the earth where it was cooler by emitting a stink smell instead of a sweet smell. And it then figured out how to trap their little visitors by turning the inner walls of the flower from rough to smooth just for one night, long enough to make sure that bug is going to get pollen on him, and then release the bug the next morning. It was incredible stuff. Things to marvel at. And there's so much more to learn about life and observe and be amazed at. It really is infinite, actually, the works of God's hands in this world. And I'm so grateful to these to God for these things that he's put in the world for us to discover. And then you can add to that all the tremendous experiences that we have in life, things like experiences of laughter and song and loving relationships with our fellow human beings, of watching children grow and enjoying them. So beauty, design, purpose, it's all around us. And though I have known in my mind all along that these things really could only come from the hand of an incredible designer God, I now know that God, the Father, because of the Son, Jesus. So much to live for. We can and should live life to the full. Jesus has given to me in my life, just as he has to you in yours, so many good things to experience and to marvel at. I'm so grateful for these things. Okay, third thing that came to my mind when I was thinking of what Jesus has brought to my life. Maybe you can relate to this one. Jesus actually has driven me crazy a little bit. And I'm trying to say this as respectfully as I can, but I have to be honest with you. So, I see all the works of his hands. Obviously God, things we just talked about. I read the prophecy and fulfillment in Scripture and I'm blown away. I get heartburn when I read about Jesus. I've had experiences of a God in my life, and yet there are still so many things that go on in this world around me that are just so brutal. We could put Aaron's death into this category. That sometimes I scream out, you know, why? There's so many why questions. I want God to work differently than he does sometimes. Yeah, so Jesus drives me crazy a little bit when he chooses not to heal, even though we've seen him heal in the past and we know that he can do it, and you wonder why. And when he sometimes seems so absent, even though I've seen him so obviously at work in my life in other times in the past. So this stuff drives me a little crazy. But yet, I always come back to being convinced of him and amazed by him. It's harder to explain all the good things in the world without a good God than it is to explain the bad things in the world with a good God. I'll say that one to you again. It's harder to explain all the good things in the world without a good God than it is to explain the bad things in the world with a good God. I'm convinced of that. And again, I know this God. I've experienced him in my life. And so, though he drives me crazy a little bit sometimes, trying to be respectful, Lord, I'm still honored to call him my Lord. And I will submit to his will and trust that he is always doing the right thing, given all the factors that might be at play. Next thing that Jesus has brought to my life that I wanted to share with you today, Jesus has given me a rock to stand on. And I think he's done this in multiple ways. I'm going to mention two of them. The first one is the one that you would probably think of. Jesus once said, "Everyone who hears the things I teach and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears the things I teach and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." So yes, knowing Jesus has enabled me to stand firm in the ups and downs of life and to keep moving forward, or at the very least, he's provided hope for me to look to in those downs, even if I have begun to feel my world shaking, and he's kept me going. And to the extent that I have followed his teaching in my life, he's also kept me out of trouble, also allowing my life to look a little bit like a house built on a rock. But I think of a second way, too, in which Jesus has given me a rock to stand on in my life as well. Jesus has given to me an understanding of life and of humanity and of morality that has grounded me and given me peace. When I read Jesus' teaching, it just resonates in my soul, and I believe, my soul believes that this is truth he is teaching. And I'm so glad that I don't have to go through life trying to walk on moral shifting sand like so many people do in our world. How can a person keep their feet from slipping without God, I wonder? So Jesus has taught to me that moral truth is not up to opinion or to whim or to whatever human beings create in our heads. Truth is found in the word of the Creator God. Truth is found in our Bibles. Truth is found in this man, Jesus Christ, we're celebrating at Christmas. There is a firm truth to stand upon. Wow, what an incredibly important thing that is. What a comforting thing that is. Yeah, how does a person find truth and grounding for their thinking without Jesus? I don't think that we can, at least not fully or correctly. Jesus has given me a rock to stand on in my life in a couple different ways. These things have brought peace to my life. I can tell you that because Jesus was born, I have a purpose in my life that I am passionate about. He's given me a job to do, and you have it too, fellow Christ follower. That is to serve and love him, to serve and love other people, to share his good news and spread it. Boy, to seek to save souls, what more important job is there than that? So Jesus has brought purpose to my life. Here's something else. Jesus has disciplined me when I have been wrong. He's taught to me right and wrong. Sometimes I have chosen the wrong. And for many, many years, I was kept from fulfilling the role that I believed that God had been calling me to in life, that of being a pastor. He kept me from it, and he did that for just and good reasons. And it was painful for me, especially as that time of discipline kind of stretched on and on. But God is good, and he is right. Hebrews 12:10 says, "God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So this is something that Jesus has brought to my life. He has disciplined me when I needed it. Then, something else Jesus has brought to my life. Jesus has explained grace to me, and he has shown grace to me. Jesus has explained love to me, and he has shown love to me. It's true, my friends. Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Some people in my life, in my past, gave up on me, but Jesus didn't give up on me. And at the end of that painful stretch of discipline came mercy and grace and restoration from him. So Jesus taught about grace and love. He modeled grace and love for all of us hanging on the cross. And I have personally experienced his grace and love in my life. Praise the Lord. Something else Jesus has meant to my life. He has explained grace and love to me. He has shown grace and love to me. And I thank him so much for that today. Three more quick things and then I'm done. Here's another impact Jesus has had on my life. Because of him, and substantially because of these last two things I've just talked about, I have learned to patiently wait on him. Jesus has created within me a patient trust. It's not a perfect trust, mind you, but it is greatly increased in me over the years. He has greatly increased it in me. How many times have we noticed this together in our stories or in stories of others that God often does not work on our timetable? But in the end, when the time is right, he comes through. It seems so painfully long sometimes before we get to that point because we want relief and we want answers. But God will not work until the time is right. He's balancing many factors that we aren't even aware of. And then when God does come through, we say to ourselves, why did I worry and doubt? Why did I fret? I should have just trusted him. And through this, we start to learn patience and we start to learn trust. Romans 5 says, we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So Jesus has created within me a patient trust, something he's brought to my life. Next thing, because Jesus was born, I have been given a hope that transcends all my circumstances. Because Jesus was born, I've been given a hope that transcends all my circumstances. Everything inside screams for second life. That's a song lyric from, yes, my favorite band, Switchfoot. And as usual, they are right on. Our hearts and minds long for heaven, right? For second life, to live on. I don't know that we all long to live on forever in this broken world with all its pain and so forth, but we do long to have all of that fixed and then to live on, to not cease to exist. There are many people in the past who have commented about how this universal human longing to live on, if heaven does not exist, would be the only universal longing human beings have that does not have a potential fulfillment available to us in the universe. We desire love, and love is available in the world. We desire shelter and comfort. It's available out there. Our bodies need food and water, and those things are in the world to obtain. We have social needs. They can be met in the universe. But if there is no heaven, then why do our souls crave it so much? Everything inside screams for second life. And so Jesus has confirmed to me and to everyone that the reason we long for heaven is that it does exist. It is available if we seek it and if we seek God. Heaven exists and we were made for it. So, even though I'm as tied to this earth as any of us human beings, and even though, sure, you know, I have a level of anxiety over when I might die and what that's going to feel like. But I also have hope, a great hope of where I will wake up after I die. This is a hope, thus, therefore, that transcends all my circumstances. And I have this hope because of Jesus. It's something he has given to me. in my life. Last one. As I reflect on what Jesus has meant to my life, the final thing that came to mind as I wrote this sermon was this. Throughout my 48 years on this planet, Jesus has been a friend to me. Through it all. He's been one I can call on and cry to, one I can celebrate with and sing to, one I can talk over my thoughts with and my worries and my concerns, one I can just sit and be with, even in silence. He's there. He's always been there. Proverbs 24 says that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is Jesus. In my life, Jesus has been a friend to me, and I thank him for that this morning. So, you know, I think about how blessed I have been to have been told about Jesus in my life. In my case, most substantially by two parents who loved Jesus and raised me to know him, but there were others in my life who also represented Jesus well and taught me about him. Not everyone in the world is presented with the same level of opportunity to know him that I have received, and that's a humbling thought. I'm so fortunate and blessed. Sometimes I think about how dramatically different my life could have been if I hadn't known about Jesus, or if Jesus had never been born. But Jesus was born, and I did learn of him, and he has meant so much to me in my life. Everything, really. He has taught me and matured me and disciplined me and loved me. He has changed me, and I know that probably most of you in this room here today can say those same things, and I praise the Lord for that. He's changed us. He will keep changing us, all for the good and to his glory. And if you happen to be listening to these words here today and you have yet to make Jesus Lord of your life, to really put him on the throne in your life, then my message for you today is that he can change your life too. Amen. At the first Christmas, Jesus was born, and he went on to radically change the world. My story is a very, very small part of that much larger story. The story of how God changed and continues to change the world. And your story, if you have come to him, is also a very small part of it. But this is the way God has chosen to do this. Jesus told them another parable, and he said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." The current phase of the kingdom of God we are in began when Jesus was born, just one man, mustard seed. But that seed grew in the world and multiplied and expanded and has now become a large tree, a kingdom full of saved people. And that tree is still expanding and growing today. Jesus has changed the world. He's continuing to change it. He does this one soul at a time. Thank the Lord for his goodness to me today. Celebrate how he's worked similarly in so many of your lives. And if you haven't accepted him yet, I look forward to hearing from you one day about how he has changed you as well. Would you bow in prayer with me? Lord God, this has largely been a thank you letter from me to you. You have made my life. So grateful that you made yourself known to me and for all the opportunities I had to learn about you and from you. And my heart would be that every person in the world would have similar opportunity. I thank you for the truth you've taught to me and how you've loved and corrected and guided me over all these years. Thank you for being my good friend and my good father. And I celebrate today, Lord, because I know this is true of so many here as well. And each person here could likely write a similar thank you letter to you. We are only some of the billions of people that you have saved through your somewhat subtle but world-altering message of salvation that began 2,000 plus years ago with the birth of a baby into an animal stable in the little town of Bethlehem. So Jesus, we thank you today, and we ask you to continue to change us into your likeness and to work your changing Holy Spirit power upon our community, upon our country, upon our world. And it is in the great name of Jesus Christ that we pray these things. Amen.
If you stand for the close.